Hello, I'm Chris Fleischer, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel, an intelligent, lively discussion on astrology, art, and adventure. Timing is everything, and as the great wheel turns, we are best prepared when we are best informed. Join me as I explore the current planetary alignments and offer insights for coping with change. Educational, informative, enlightening, the Turning of the Wheel is a welcome pause in your daily swirl of constant change. Through intelligent discourse, inspired guests, and educational segments, I will help to enlighten your knowledge of astrology and guide you to accept change as the great wheel of life turns. Call in with your questions and speak with some of the greatest visionaries in the time-tested practice of astrology. Turning of the Wheel, Astrology, Art, and Adventure with Chris Fleischer, each Thursday, live, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, on Contact Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Turning of the Wheel. My name's Chris Fleischer. This is a show about astrology, art, and spiritual adventure. I have a great show today. We've got lots of interesting people coming on. My goal here with this show is to sort of try to introduce everyone to ideas about astrology and take them to the next step. We all look at the newspaper and read our horoscopes there, but they're really inaccurate because they don't go deep enough. And so the purpose of this show is to sort of enlighten everybody and go to the next level, which really involves a true reading. And it's much more comprehensive than a simple horoscope. The kind of horoscope you get out of the newspaper is very vague. It doesn't require much. It's much too broad of a topic. When you get a professional astrology report done, you get the full layout of all your planets, and you know exactly what's going on. Excuse me. I have a new phone today. Hopefully my signal will come through a little better. I had a terrible time over the last few weeks. I felt like I was in a tin can, but I feel like I'm a little better off today. So if I'm not, let me know by all means. We have an open line for anybody who wants to call in and ask questions of my guest or myself. It's 1-877-230-3062. And we also have a chat room, which you can get to from going to the Contact Radio website. You can log in there and type us a question if you want to. But the best way is probably to call us. And don't be bashful. You know, somebody's got to raise their hand in the classroom, and it might as well be you. My guest is a widely diversified woman with regards to astrology. She certainly has been in the business long enough. I'm going to wait until I know that she's on the line before I introduce her. But anyway, we want to talk a little bit about our topic today is going to be Saturn in Virgo. As you know, Saturn has just, maybe you don't know, Saturn is a huge planet in the solar system that has just moved into Virgo back 3 or 4 days ago. And it's critical because of the simple fact that it is a huge planet with great influence. And what it does as far as our planet and our chart is huge because it takes an enormous role in our lives. It's about responsibility. It's about accountability. It's about all of those things that sort of, keep us online. And people often think of it as being a scary planet, but it really isn't. It's a planet that just keeps us in shape, and that's really what it comes down to. So it's not as if it's something to be feared. People often fear that. You know, they talk about Saturn return and all these things, and they can deliver some interesting things. There's no question about it. But typically, they are more things that we need to learn. And once we learn them, we're in much better shape. And that's what Saturn is here to do. The energy given off by Saturn is very powerful. It's sort of the most responsible planet in the solar system. And the reason people fear it is for that reason. Who wants to be responsible? Anyway, Saturn has entered into Virgo, and my guest is going to be talking about it. My guest is Joyce Levine. She is an astrologer who's been a professional astrologer for 25 years. Back when astrology probably was not an easy business to be in, Joyce was out there cutting her teeth, and she has been a huge figure in the National Council for Geocosmic Research, which is a huge astrological foundation, and she's been president of the New England Astrological Association, and also professional founding member of the American Federation of Astrologers. She's been on television, she's been on radio, she has many years as her own talk show host. Maybe she could teach me a few tricks. And she's a wonderful resource for insight, depth, and she has a wonderful way of getting across to the common person with ideas of astrology. She's just written a new book too, by the way, called Breakthrough Astrology. Joyce, are you there?
Here.
Hey, Joyce, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome to Turning of the Wheel.
Thank you.
As I mentioned to my guests and everyone out there in Radio Land, this is a radio show about astrology. Now, what we're trying to do here is sort of up the ante for everybody to understand what astrology is all about. It's far more than what we see in the newspapers, and our goal here is to sort of educate people and enlighten them. And the best way to do that is to get a professional reading. Joyce is a professional astrologer and has been for over 25 years, and she's widely versed in all of the terminology and the characteristics of the individual chart. Joyce, we're going to talk a little bit today about Saturn in Virgo, which is a great idea. This is your idea for a topic. Why is Saturn in Virgo, and how is it going to affect us? I mean, that's a broad question. I kind of want to just get the dialogue started about Saturn in Virgo. So I want to see what you have to say about it and how it's going to manifest itself.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about Saturn itself first.
Okay,
that
makes sense.
So that people will understand what the meaning of Saturn is, because I know a lot of people know what their sun sign is, but are not necessarily familiar with what all of the other planets mean. So Saturn used to be, before the late 1700s when Uranus was discovered, Saturn was the outermost planet. And Saturn has to do with discipline, duty, responsibility. You know, whether if people are listening and they want to know whether how Saturn affects them, if Saturn is strong in your chart, you probably either use the word or think the word should extremely often. So Saturn is sort of the should word, everything we're, quote, supposed to do.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Or better.
Yeah.
And so it has to do with discipline, with duty, with responsibility, with the things that we're, quote, supposed to do in life. Live up to our responsibilities. And that can also be misunderstood, because there's two sides of responsibility, which is, one, did I do enough? And the other side that people frequently don't necessarily understand is that when Saturn is strong in an individual's chart, it can be the opposite, which may mean that they don't know how to set limits and they can do too much. So those are the opposite sides of Saturn. And Saturn also rules limitations. And we tend to think of Jupiter, which is kind of like the cosmic Santa Claus, as good, and Saturn as, quote, bad. Because we like expansion, which is Jupiter, but we don't necessarily like contraction, which is Saturn.
But it's sort of the opposite. It makes us pay for that expansion.
Well, I think it's if we're setting... We need to know when to expand and when to contract. Think of it like blowing up a balloon.
Right.
If you blow it up too far, it bursts. So you want to blow it up just to the right amount. And so you can say where you stop, in a sense, could be Saturn's domain. So instead of thinking of it as negative, if we think of it as, you know, boundaries can be a plus also. I mean, if we think about walls and ceilings are boundaries. You know, if it's a beautiful summer's night and we're, you know, out gazing at the stars, we may not think about it. But when it's cold and snowy, we're very happy to have those walls and
right.
ceilings to protect us. So,
well, you know, I often tell my clients, having boundaries is what makes things happen. Now, stress points in your charts or anything like that are the sort of things that they're the initiators. They're the ones that force us to get things done, like deadlines and paying taxes and stuff. Those are necessary evils, regardless of how unpleasant they may be. They do keep us on track.
Absolutely. And they don't necessarily have to be evils. We can look at them more as structure.
Yeah, actually, I like Saturn. He's my friend. I got him in my first house in my chart, and I've always been a very responsible person as a result.
No, I'm actually happy that Saturn has left Leo and moved into Virgo.
Yeah, now Saturn moving out of... Now, in Leo, Saturn was... Leo is a very... I think of Leo as a very expansive, jovial, you know, broad-reaching sign, and Saturn really is kind of at odds with that whole concept.
Exactly. And Saturn actually will probably be quite happy in Virgo.
I think so, too. I mean, it's a good place for work.
Their energies are similar, because Virgo is a sign of work. It's a detail-oriented sign. Virgo is naturally organized and naturally thinks of sort of, this is step one, this is step two, this is step three, what do I need to do about it? And so Saturn, in many ways, is at home in a work sign. You know, Virgo also has to do with education. It has an interest in health-related matters. And so the idea of Saturn being in Virgo is a better home for Saturn, in a sense, than Saturn and Leo.
I think so, too. You know, it's sort of, if our listeners out there have been sort of wanting a time in their lives to sort of start anew and perhaps look at, you know, new diets or new exercise programs, perhaps going back to school, it's an excellent time to do that with Saturn in Virgo because it will lend you a positive energy in that regard.
And if any, for those people that are listening that are around 29 or around 58, they're having what are called their Saturn returns. And that, at 29, astrologically, is when you grow up. So,
in theory.
Well,
I'm still waiting.
theoretically, anyway. But it's right. When Saturn has moved through every other sign in the zodiac and has come back to where it was when you were born.
Right.
And so it's the time frame of looking over your life, what have I done? You know, what haven't I done? And frequently the question, if people are experiencing any kind of Saturn cycle, the question they're usually asking is sort of why isn't it more better and different? So the negative side of Saturn can be seeing the glass as half empty rather than half full.
Right. I think it's important to review these things, though, because if you don't take your pulse at those moments in your life, you don't really ever make progress. You sort of just plod along. So it's valuable to do that. I want to let everybody know you're listening to Turning of the Wheel. My name's Chris Fleischer. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio. If you want to speak with myself or Joyce Levine is my guest today. She's an astrologer with who's been in the business for 25 years. I know that she started back when astrology was probably a tough business to get into, but she stuck it out and she's here today bringing us insight about her topic, which is Saturn and Virgo, and also to talk a little bit about her book, which is called Breakthrough Astrology. If you want to call for myself or for Joyce, you can at 1-877-230-3062 for questions, and we encourage you to do that. Any question you might have about responsibility. Now, Joyce, you mentioned Saturn is happy in Virgo, and I think that
right.
certainly makes a lot of sense to me because of all the reasons you mentioned. Is Saturn going to, how will it affect us as a nation, perhaps? How do you think that's going to manifest itself as a nation?
Well, it's very interesting because one of the things that Virgo rules is work and workers. And shortly after Saturn went into Virgo, GM went on strike.
Yeah.
With GM workers. And I don't think it's an accident. And whether or not they're going to end up being happy long-term with their contract may be a different question. But Saturn has to do on the negative side with restriction, or again, we could say responsibility. But if we're looking at sometimes things from a universal standpoint or what goes on in the world, it tends to become more literal than in an individual chart. You can have a Saturn cycle and you can handle it responsibly, or you can sort of get into trouble for not doing it. However,
right.
when it comes to what's going on in the world, what you tend to see is a more direct interpretation manifested. So I think
it seems to me, yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. It seems to me that, you know, we're going to see some sort of detail-oriented responsibility regarding some accounting practices, I think, would be relevant, especially with regard to what's going on in Iraq. I think that there's going to be some exposure or some accountability with regard to how the money's been spent, military operations, some of the contractors that have been over there, like the Blackwater scandal and stuff like that. I think a lot of those things are going to come to light under this transit, don't you?
Well, I think even more significantly than Saturn in Virgo is that Pluto's going into Capricorn.
Right.
And that happens at the end of January this year, or in 2008, and it's sort of straddling this year or within the next year.
It doesn't stay in Capricorn for long. Doesn't it transit back into Sagittarius?
In June.
Yes, it does, yeah.
So it's there for about 5 months. It goes backwards, and then it enters Capricorn to stay at the end of November. But Pluto in Capricorn is going to have a lot to do with government scandals.
Ah, yes, of course, yeah.
And so the
awfully late in the time for that, though. They should have initiated this a little earlier.
Well, what can you do?
I know.
But Saturn in Virgo, I think, is going to really bring home the plight of what I would call the average worker.
Yeah.
Because while the government tells us there's no inflation and that unemployment is low, I think that most people who go to the grocery store or who've either been downsized or are underemployed at this point have a different picture. And it was very interesting because, and I apologize for my political opinions that will come out in this ahead of time for anybody who it might offend, but I think most people realize that the government statistics are not exactly forthright. And the other thing that happened when Saturn went into Virgo is now the job numbers, which are basically sort of made up anyway because there are a lot of it's estimates, but even right. with their estimates and trying to keep the keep it look like the economy is going well, they came out with like only with a loss of jobs. And so again, I think that as Virgo is in, as Saturn's in Virgo, we're going to see more truth about
yeah, and
what,
the whole
what's
housing issue
on.
Is a big issue right now too. Housing is a real problem.
No,
you know, the housing starts and the housing market is way off. And the market's been very open to fluctuations. I think it's happened as over the course of the time of it, of the actual transit between signs. There's always that sort of that fuzzy time between the signs changing and, you know, the planet passing over that, that cusp.
Well, I think that we're going to see real figures and real more details about the cost of food, the cost of energy, and how the average person's rise in wages have not kept up. And so these are things that are only now people are just starting to talk about. I mean, not that the average, again, the average person certainly is better aware of it than I think the pundits have been. But now mm-hmm. it's being talked about, whereas when Saturn was in Leo, it wasn't talked about. And so
yeah, I think you're right. The you know, the average person probably doesn't realize, unless you're really attuned to astrology, you may not realize where Saturn is in your chart. But it's very indicative of huge, significant personality traits and characteristics and events that have happened in your life. In order to find out where that is in your chart and to understand it, you need to get a professional reading. And one of the best ways to do that is to contact Joyce. Joyce has a website. It's joycelevine.com. And if you contact her there, you'll be able to get a professional reading. What a professional reading will do for you is it'll give you the full layout of all the planets in your chart. And each of those planets are key players in your makeup. And without knowing that, not knowing all those details, you really can't understand your full self. So it's important to get that done if you can. I'm also available to give chart readings at any point in time as well, and you can get to my site, chrisflesher.com. I encourage you to call now if you'd like at 1-877-230-3062. I'm talking with Joyce Levine. You're listening to Turning of the Wheel. I didn't want to interrupt you there, Joyce, but I wanted to get that stuff out there so people would know that how to get the real thing done. I think that most people, the average person out there, is probably sort of immune to what astrology can provide, and that's part of my goal, is to try to raise the you know, the visibility of it and to let people know that if you're going through a trying time, astrology can be very, very helpful in letting you see, you know, the sort of the beginning, the end of those times and the relevance and the fact that you're probably supposed to do that.
Well,
one of the things I want to ask about Saturn and Virgo is the whole issue of Virgo is very much of a, we've mentioned this earlier, service-oriented sign. It's sort of a sign that, you know, you find a lot of nurses and doctors and people in the healthcare industry, teachers, and people who tend to serve are very much Virgo-prone, as I should say, or have strong Virgo in their charts. How do you think this is going to, or how about Virgo on the ascendant? How would this would affect Saturn coming into this time now? Are they, these people in for a you know, sort of a reevaluation, you think?
Well, I have an interesting piece of information for you that you may not know, and I actually found it quite surprising, but there are more Virgo millionaires than any other sign.
Oh, that is interesting.
And which I would have never expected. However,
I would have thought Capricorn, perhaps, or something like that.
I think it's their attention to detail and the willingness to be flexible.
Yeah, they're mutable signs. Virgo's a mutable sign, which means it's flexible. It's not fixed or cardinal. It's mutable. Mutable means that it has the ability to adapt and mold. So being an earth sign, and it's sort of like, you know, Virgo is, you know, is the mud, and they're very adaptable like clay. But
well,
that adaptability allows them to fit into a lot of different scenarios, and then, of course, their attention to detail, very strong work ethic, strong service ethic, allows them to really, I can see that now. I mean, it certainly makes sense. But people with that in their charts, Saturn now in their charts, how is that going to manifest itself to them?
Well, again, Saturn cycles tend to be one of two extremes. They can be the time of success in your life that everything that you've worked for comes together, or it can be the time that what you've been hoping for falls apart. And a lot of it has to do with the manner in, with the way in which you handle situations coming up to the cycle. So, you know, I hear people say, oh, Saturn's coming, you know, my things are going to get bad. Well, it depends on what you've done up until that point. What I usually tell is, with Saturn, you get what you earn one way or the other.
Right. That's a good way of looking at it.
And so, for one person, it may be that they're promoted. Now, if they get promoted, they also get more work, more responsibility. It's not a cushy job. On the other hand, for someone else, it may be when they get fired or they get laid. I would say, typically what happens, if you're let go under a Saturn cycle, it's an expectation that you didn't live up to. I'd like to contrast that with Pluto, which is a much more, I think, fated planet. And if you get let go during a Pluto cycle, it's more likely that the plant closed.
Right.
Or that,
right.
And so it's something that's beyond your control. Typically, Saturn cycles are not things that are beyond your control, although you might like to think so.
Mm-hmm.
If, for instance, if people have a Saturn cycle and all of a sudden they recognize that there's problems in their marriage, chances are the problems in the marriage or in the job or anyplace else were there long before the Saturn cycle. It's just that you didn't address them.
Yeah, I can see that.
And when Saturn comes along, it's sort of time to pay the piper. So you don't get to say, "Oh, I can't look at this," or you can't sweep it under the carpet anymore because it's right in front of you.
You can procrastinate no longer.
Exactly.
I have a caller on the line. We have Pat on hold right now from Wisconsin. Go ahead, Pat. Do you have a question for Joyce or myself about what we're talking?
Yes, either. Hello, you both. And does it need to pertain to Saturn?
Okay. No, of course not. No.
Okay. I was told a long time ago by an astrologer that he had started his Denmark chart, said it was the most complicated he'd ever seen. This was and is Robert Hand. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Well, he was a teacher of mine then, and I just never got the chart. And can you tell things quickly by birth date and time?
Joyce?
Do you have a specific question, or is there something that you wanted to ask?
Just why he said that it was the most difficult chart he'd ever seen.
Well, let me say, I don't want to comment on what someone else has said.
Okay.
Because it's,
all right.
Particularly when it's someone I know.
Oh,
however,
okay.
I do think that, did you have an appointment with him for a consultation?
No, I was a student when he was teaching on the Cape years and years and years ago. And I took a couple of classes from him, and he had done, you know, charts for some of the
Okay,
students.
Why don't you give me your birthday, and I will draw it up on the computer, and we'll see what we find.
7/12/1953.
Mm-hmm.
And you need the time?
Yes.
11:51 a.m.
And where?
You know, what it might be, Pat, is that you have a lot of tense angles in your chart, a lot of squares, which are the hard angles, and, of course, a lot of oppositions. What you might have is,
where were you born?
New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I needed to get this calculated.
No, I understand. I'm sorry. My apologies on that one. I was just going to explain to Pat that she has lots of oppositions and angles in her chart. That could easily be the case. What you find, when you draw up a chart, the planets can align themselves in different parts of the chart. And
right.
What you're looking at is a wheel. If you've got planets scattered all over the chart, and all over the place, it could easily be a problem there, because you're always going to be under some sort of tension, because as the planets transit, you're going to feel it somewhere in your chart. But if you have a lot of tension, you know, squares and oppositions, you're going to have a lot of difficult lessons to learn, and it could just be part of what your task is. Joyce has the information now.
I've had a lot of difficult lessons to learn, but from when I look at my chart and I can't read it, is that there's only about four houses that have planets in it.
Well,
okay.
one of the things in your chart, Pat, is that you have a lot of planets that are kind of clumped together.
Uh-huh.
And so part of what that means is that things tend to happen to you in life all at once. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can hardly hear you.
And when it rains, it pours.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Basically, if you're having a good time, everything's good, and if you're having a bad time, everything's difficult.
Okay.
It, things don't tend to, in a sense, be spread out.
Okay.
It's, you do have a number of tension aspects in your chart, but I don't know if I would say it's, first of all, I don't think I would ever tell somebody it's the most difficult chart I've ever
yeah.
seen.
Yeah.
Right. That's always a tough comment because, you know, you could look at people. I mean, when we do research and we look at people who have been like Hitler's chart, for example, or something like that, you do see significant events and characteristics there, but you don't necessarily see anything that makes them the worst person you've ever seen on
right.
the face. You know,
right.
it's kind of a broad statement to make.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is that when you look at someone's chart, you never know their level of consciousness. And that's something that's not that's in the human being and not in the chart.
Mm-hmm.
Two people can have similar planetary combinations and handle them very differently.
Okay.
And
well, what
so
about
that's where
things,
fate and free will intersect.
And that makes sense. What about if I said things have been very, very difficult since age 28, Saturn return, and is there possible changes now? I mean, literally since 28 and I'm 54.
Well, you're due for a change.
Yeah.
You're due for a change. Maybe by the next return, you should be in good shape.
Next return.
Which would be when you turn 58.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'd have to look at every, you know, things that have gone on in your life since then.
Right.
I think,
you know,
I think,
Pat, what I think would do, which you might be best served by, is if you had a professional reading through someone
right.
like Joyce, you might find out more that way. And
right.
I
yeah.
think you might see, you know, especially the transiting planets and the progressive planets, where they are now in your chart, might give you some sense of relief if you knew what was coming down the road.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both very
yeah,
much.
Yeah, thank you for calling.
And
we have one more caller on the line here. We've got Bob from Massachusetts. Bob, are you on the line there?
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, good. You got a question for myself or Joyce?
Well, first I just want to say, hi, Chris. I'm actually over at Selena's house listening to you.
Oh, good. Okay, great.
Yeah, she turned me on to the show and your website. So
great.
I thought
That's
I
fantastic.
Would call in because actually my Saturn is in Virgo, and I'm 3 months shy of my 58th birthday.
Okay.
So
how is it going for you?
Well, the last couple of months have been amazing. I mean, after years and the previous number of years have been 6 years or so, have been absolutely miserable for me. And all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, but the last few months, life has sort of turned around and taken off. And you know, I was looking at my Saturn in Virgo and realizing that, you know, and then after Joyce said they were coming up on this 58, and I realized, okay, so things are changing, and I can obviously see the changes, and actually people are seeing the changes in me as well. So I'm just kind of like wondering what to expect next.
Well, part of what to expect really depends on your entire chart, not just the Saturn return. However, if the first Saturn return is very much like, what have I done with my life, and where am I going, and am I successful enough? The second Saturn return asks some of those questions, but a lot of it has to do with what's still a priority for me, and where are you putting your energy, and what still has meaning, and where do you need to set limits, whether it's with people or in situations. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I think I'm mostly putting my energy into people these days. I mean, I've got work handled. Living situation, pretty much all that, but my personal situation has been in flux for many, many, many years. So that's actually where my what I'm working on, basically.
Well, think of a second Saturn return as sort of like coming of age for a second time.
Okay.
And that the priorities can shift.
And there's a priority what?
The priorities can shift.
Okay.
The first Saturn return has a lot. I think they both can have to do with achievement, but achievement may be defined differently at 58 than 29. And what do you consider achievement?
Well,
achievement can be personal as well as professional.
I mean, I think at this point, I have the work thing handled, I think really achievement at this point would be to get a relationship that supports me because I haven't had one for about 16 years.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the sort of thing that could happen, I think, at a Saturn return. It's sort of the thing if you have done your work and sort of, you know, there's no, you can't make, and there's no broad statements that are going to accommodate where you're going to go. We don't have crystal balls.
Of course.
But see a propensity.
Well, I think part of that, you can't look at just the Saturn return. You really have to look at your chart specifically in terms of how things affect you. And the other thing is no one cycle occurs by itself. So there's a myriad of other cycles that are going on simultaneously. And it's
sure.
the sum total of those that really affect what's going on for you. We just happen to be focusing on this call on Saturn. But in really looking at being more predictive in terms of what's going on in your life or anybody else's, you'd need the birth chart and then to look at all of the other cycles that are taking place simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you're really a composite of many, many signs and many influences. And one, ironically, believe it or not, one influence can actually be undone if there's an inverse, not undone, but sort of have a balancing act where they become null in their effect if the planets are aligned a certain way. But you know, these 10 spots that show up on the chart are there to sort of guide you through your path and to help you to learn your lessons, so to speak. And sometimes the lessons are hard to learn, and they require sort of shifting your focus and shifting the way you look at life and making a necessary change in order to get there. Sometimes we get stuck in our roots, our routines, because they are comfortable. But sometimes change is really all that's necessary, even if it's a change that seems, you know, sometimes people are willing to put up with an unfamiliar, unpleasant change, an unpleasant situation, rather than make a change. You know,
that's true.
The concept of change is so daunting to some people, they'd rather stay in an unhappy marriage, in an unhappy job situation, rather than make that change. And I think Saturn is the sort of planet that sort of says, listen, be responsible. If you owe your soul and your soul's purpose this chance to do this, then you see it as an opportunity to reinvent yourself and start anew.
Right, and I actually did that after the first 28-year cycle. I moved from Massachusetts to Los Angeles.
Okay, that's pretty dramatic, yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
What brought you back to Massachusetts?
Maybe you're supposed to move back now. Who knows, Bob?
I'm contemplating a move to New Mexico to work with Native Americans.
Well, that's a good thing. There's change afoot there. And this is the sort of thing that Saturn... Now, Joyce, with Saturn coming up in Virgo, is he going to, depending upon obviously where Saturn is in his chart, is he going to feel the effects of this leading up to or at the exact juncture of Saturn at that point in this chart?
I can't answer that really without looking at the entire chart, because it depends on where the other planets are and how everything's being affected. Because
right.
again,
but you will feel what we call an applying effect or a separating effect. You sort of
I usually only use about a degree in and a degree out, not when it gets to the sign.
I see.
But it would depend if there are other planets that are being triggered simultaneously or earlier. Then that effect lasts longer, and that's why you can never really say anything meaningful in generalities when it comes to an individual person's chart.
Yeah, it's interesting that at the same time that Saturn is moving through Virgo, we have a couple other things happening. We have Mercury is moving into Scorpio, which is going to be which is also sort of a relationship based sign, I guess. And so there's going to be a certain intensity there. So this might be the time for you, Bob. Who knows?
Well, I hope.
Well, I appreciate you calling very much. Good question.
Say that again?
I appreciate you calling very much. Good questions. I think the best thing for you to do is to get a professional astrology reading. I know Joyce or myself could do that. Joyce Levine is my guest. Her website is www.joycelevine.com. And it's LEVINE.com. And my website is www.chrisflisher.com. If you have any other questions for anybody, you can call us at 1-877-230-3062. You're listening to Turning of the Wheel. My name's Chris Flisher. This is Contact Talk Radio. The subject for today is Saturn in Virgo. And Saturn is the one of the oldest planets. Well, obviously they're all old, but I'm saying it was initially the furthest most planet in the old world astrology. Which has since been, you know, you know, moved out by Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto, obviously. But Saturn is a very old planet with regard to the history of astrology. And its impact has always been there. And it's always been considered to be a malefic planet. Now, Joyce and I have been talking about this earlier. When we say malefic, it means doesn't mean that it's an evil planet by any stretch of the imagination. It simply means that it's one that holds you to task. It's sort of like, you know, your mother telling you to clean up your room and you throw all the clothes under the bed. She comes in and looks under the bed. That's a Saturn kind of thing. Right, Joyce?
Well, you could put it that way. But I think the other thing that we want to mention is that the other planets have only been around for a couple hundred, actually not even. Uranus, which is the next planet, has only been recognized since late 1700s. And when Saturn was the outermost planet, the world was more limited. I mean, for the most part, you know, people lived in where they were, you know, close to where they were born. They didn't travel. And, you know, men did professionally what their fathers did. And women pretty much did what they were told. And so the concept of freedom really came more into being with the American Revolution, the French Revolution. And those happened around the time of the discovery of Uranus. Mm-hmm. And so there's always a correlation between what's going on in the world and whether it's a new planet or whether it's planets that we already know about that are shifting signs.
Right. Well, as we expand, as human nature, human beings expand and sort of evolve and grow, that's a natural, I think, a natural progression to be able to embrace that energy and to discover that energy. So I think there's a real natural historical correlation between why that discovery happened then and where the Earth was evolving.
I think that's probably true. And so,
yeah.
I think the ancients did consider Saturn a malefic, like negative, like evil. I think that we in modern times have a different take of the world, and we don't see things as completely faded. And if you think about your chart, based on a person's date, time, and place of birth, you are what you're like. But what we do with it is where fate and free will intersect. And so if I'm born a Scorpio, which I am, and my other planets are not going to change in life. Now, I can be the best of that or the worst of that, but I'm not going to be a Gemini in this life because it's not what I'm like. And so what we do with our chart is really the determining factor, and to a large degree, when Saturn is affecting a person's chart, what you do with that energy has a lot to do with the outcome.
Right. Now, in particular, people who have a mutable sign or any relationship or a significant planet in a mutable sign will feel the effect of Saturn. Now, mutable signs would be Virgo, Gemini, Pisces, and Sagittarius. If you've got anything in those signs, you're going to be either...
Let's clarify that, though. Early in those signs.
Early, yeah, of course, as
okay.
It moves on. Because Saturn is going to be in Virgo for about, 26 months, something like that, 28
okay.
months?
It's about 2.5 years. And so,
yeah.
But it's only going up to, about 8.5 degrees.
And then it's going to retrograde for a while.
Then it's going to retrograde. So basically, you don't have to worry about it if you were born, you know, later than, the 10th day or the 9th or 10th day of Virgo, or Gemini, Pisces, or Sagittarius, or assuming that you don't have any other planets in those degree areas. And actually, I would like to tell people that you can get, if you just want to find out where your planets are, you can get a free chart on my website, and I won't even know you've been there. So if you go to my website, which is joycelevine.com, you can just click a button that says calculate your chart, and it'll take you through. And you can find out where your planets are. It'll give you a one-line interpretation or something like that of what each thing means. But you'll at least know where things are if you're not already familiar with it.
It's a huge benefit to be able to get that chart because it really it's what you're going to get. And then you have to get someone to interpret it, of course. But then you can call in with your questions based on what you find in your chart, which is very interesting. You know, Joyce, you just mentioned a minute ago Saturn in retrograde at about 8 degrees of Virgo. What are we going to see in a retrograde motion with Saturn?
Well, I don't believe that the I don't separate retrograde and direct. I know a lot of people do. The outer planets are retrograde every time they're on the opposite side of the sun. So they're retrograde a good portion of the time.
Right.
And so I don't use that as a determining factor in any way. I think my personal opinion, and again, a lot of astrologers will disagree with me, is I think that the retrograde direct is way overdone. However, when it's affecting a person, I mean, typically if you were experience a transit or a cycle, which is what we, transits are what we would call cycles, if Saturn moves over your planets once, it's going to appear in the sky as if it's coming to a standstill and moving backwards, and then it will move forward again. So pretty much what that means is you'll get a three-time hit. So the first time you get introduced to a problem, and if it's not around the place where Saturn comes to a station or it appears as if it's standing still, it'll appear as if the problem has gone away. It's like, oh, relieved, things are back to normal. Well, this is the time to actually work on the issue, because when it comes back in what's called retrograde motion, when it's appearing to move backwards, that's when you'll get hit over the head. And the third hit is like the final resolution. So it's during that entire time you're being affected by that planetary energy. And
right.
So, it's important to work on it and to not think, okay, I'm just going to duck for cover and it'll go away and I won't have to worry about it. Which is
it's sort of like if you didn't do it right the first time, you're going to be faced with it again until you do get it right. And I think that, one of the key things I think with astrology that I find to be really useful and fascinating is the ability for us to be forewarned. You know, there's so much that you can predict, and then when you know what's coming and you can sort of adapt to it and be prepared for it, it really allows you to put the best spin on maybe a negative situation or whatever. It allows you to go with the flow rather than trying to fight that and try to change what cannot be changed.
Now, I think that's really important point, because what I work with my clients is looking ahead. And so the time to handle something ideally isn't when the problem hits you over the head. It's working towards it so that when things come up, it's not as big an issue as it could. So, for instance, if Saturn is coming to hit your chart and you've been slacking off at work, this is the time to get busy before the boss talks to you about not living up to expectations.
See, that's the thing. That's the beauty of an astrology report, I think. I mean, not only is it to provide you with sort of an owner's manual of what you have and who you are, it sort of helps clarify your personality, pluses and minuses. It also brings you this great idea about where you're going and where you are. I think it's a very wonderful tool in that regard, and remarkably accurate. I mean, I've never been disappointed in what I've heard in my own readings of my chart, or what I've often been able to glean from charts that I've read myself. We were talking earlier about the mutable signs, and the mutable signs are the ones that Virgo's a mutable sign, so the other three mutable signs are going to be in what's called a 90-degree or a square relationship with those with Saturn right now. So it's either going to be opposing Saturn or squaring Saturn or conjunct Saturn. That's the four stations that we look at. What do you think people who, say, Gemini's coming up, early Gemini's, Sagittarians right now are going to be feeling, or even early Pisces are going to be feeling, what sort of tension? Sort of the things that we were talking about earlier, or where would you see them having
more work, more responsibility,
work primarily?
More pressure? Well, work doesn't have to be just work.
Right.
Okay. Your relationship
doesn't have to be employment. It can be just work in general, right?
Well, I mean, think of it. For some people, relationships are more work than work.
That's a very good point.
So, when I say work, I don't necessarily mean work like your job, although it could be. But it's time to be serious about what you want to achieve in whatever area, and to be looking at maybe, I don't know, what needs to improve. The thing is, to some degree with Saturn, you don't really have to worry about what to look at, because the cycle will tell you.
Right.
If there's something that you need to address, it's going to be right in front of you. Ideally, you want to address it before it's in front of you. And part of that depends on what planets it's hitting, and what sector of the chart it's in. And so if it's in the money sector of the chart, you'll have to deal with money. If it's in the relationship sector of the chart, you'll have to deal with relationships. But I think that the key thought really has to do with, you know, am I doing what needs to be done? Because I think that's really key with Saturn. And if you are, you can be rewarded. And if you're not, you're going to have problems in that area that force you to take a look at it. And if you don't straighten it out during that time, 7.5 years later, which is another tension aspect from Saturn, that cycle's going to come around again and hit you over the head.
Right.
And sometimes we think we've learned something only because the cycle's over.
to come back again. It's sort of like doing diligence. You know, you sort of have, when you do diligence, you research something or you delve into something and then you dig deeper and you dig deeper and you dig deeper and you sort of look at it many different ways. I think that's the sort of the essence of what happens with Saturn. If you don't get it right the first time, you'll be faced with it again at some point in time until you do get it right, whether it's relationships or how you would work or responsibilities, financial responsibility, moral responsibility, all kinds of things are like that. Now, speaking of morals, and this is not to offend anybody as well, with George Bush right now, where do we see Saturn in his chart?
You know, I have to pull his chart up.
Joseph and I talked about this last week, and I forget where he was, too. I know he's had his Saturn return.
Oh, yes, he's had his Saturn return quite some time ago. Unfortunately, it was, well, again, I shouldn't put my...
Well, he is a Cancer. I think he's got a strong...
And he has Saturn and Cancer also, so his Saturn return has been...
Right.
Saturn is going to station very close to Bush's Mars.
Okay.
And, you know, so I think that his, and Mars rules his career and his chart. Mm-hmm. So I think not only is his ambition is going to be thwarted, but I think he's going to be restricted in the kinds of things he's trying to do with the military.
Yes, and that's
I think his programs are... What he wants is not going to get funded. That's what I would say, looking at this.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of scrutiny about... this is a Saturn in Virgo, trend. A lot of scrutiny, looking for details about misappropriated funds with regard to the military. There's a lot of military contractors that have been hired to sort of supplant and augment the troops that are over there. A lot of funny things going on there. I think a lot of that's going to be brought out in the open, and it's the sort of detail that requires that due diligence we just spoke of. You know, you got to get in there and drill down, and Virgo is very, very adept at that. It's a real Virgo characteristic to be able to delve deeply into details. And when you've got Saturn sort of in that realm, it means responsibility and research. So there's a kind of a lot of interesting angles there. I think that Saturn is a good placement for it. And the idea, I guess, if we had to give out some advice to people, would be to sort of like, what would you think would be a good way to give out advice, Joyce?
Well, I was actually thinking, if you're listening and you don't know much about astrology and you want to know how this is going to affect you, think about what was going on 7.5 years ago.
Right. Very
and,
good
and
idea.
any issues that you had at that point in time, and whether or not you resolved them at that point, or they just got swept under the rug, because those are the things that you're likely to see coming back to haunt you if they're not resolved.
Yeah, if you didn't get it right that time, you'll have to get it right this time. And you know, whether it's financial responsibility, a lot of times people drift in and out of jobs, they get themselves into debt, they fall in and out of relationships, those things seem to come back and haunt you until you get it right. Oftentimes they can haunt you every 7 years until you get it right, and some people don't ever get it right. But the idea here is that if you are forewarned, then you can be forearmed. That's what astrology really does, I think, is that it brings out the concepts of giving you insight into themes, not something that I don't think anyone, Joyce, myself, or anybody would say to go out and buy a lottery ticket based on an astrology transit. But it
I actually have done. I actually might. To
oh,
be
you might.
Perfectly
okay.
honest,
well,
absolutely.
I spoke too soon. I'm saying.
I absolutely, because there are time frames that you're going to be luckier.
Well, that's what I mean. I was just going to say frames. I mean, I wasn't going to say the date. I was going to say, you know, it's more about, you know, the themes. Like, you know, for the next couple months, you may have a good time to be buying a lottery ticket, but I was going to say we wouldn't want to be specific about the date.
Actually, I might. I've told people when to gamble. I had one client who her husband won $200,000 at a slot machine when I told them it was a good time to gamble.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
It was in the Atlantic City papers.
Did they give you a cut?
I got good referrals, but no money.
That's too bad. That's what you
need. They were very generous with praise.
No, that's good. You're listening to Turning of the Wheels. This is a show about astrology, art, and spiritual adventure. Today we're talking about astrology, and my guest is Joyce Levine. She's a world-renowned astrologer. She's been an astrologer, a professional astrologer, for over 25 years. Joyce, let's talk a little bit about your new book. You've got a book called Breakthrough Astrology. Now,
I do.
The title alone means that there must be something different going on in there. What is it that makes this a breakthrough astrology? What's
well,
the significance?
I wrote that book really not just as an astrology book, but what I wanted it to be was a self-help book. So people, you can buy the book, look up where, if you either don't have the funds to see an astrologer or you just want to learn about yourself or other people on your own, that you can look up the position of your planets and see what they mean. And there are, in every sector, there, it tells you what the planet in the sign means, the positive qualities of the sign, of the planet in that sign, and then maybe some of the things that you need to learn based on the planet being in that sign. And so at the end of each section, I have something that I call Joyce Says, which are, one is traits to treasure, and the other is to transform. And so to be looking at really acknowledging your strengths, because, you know, sometimes people can be more honest about what's wrong with them, and they think there's something wrong with recognizing their good points, or it's like too egotistical or something.
Mm-hmm.
But to really rejoice in your strengths, but to be honest with yourself about maybe what needs to improve. And I think that we're all in that position. And so the book was really, the Breakthrough Astrology was really meant to be a self-help book that people could, you know, that you can read and learn about yourself and recognize what are the maybe the best of your traits and maybe, you know, those need to improve parts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's increasingly unbelievably evident. We have a person in our chat room. We also have a chat room here at Contact Talk Radio. And this is a person, her name is Angel, and she said that 2 years ago her life changed dramatically, and the question goes on to read, in every way, is there something that occurred in my chart to shake things up so much, or was there something I could have done about it in advance using astrology? And I would have to say, yes, if you knew what the chart said, absolutely things could have been done, don't you think?
Oh, of course. I mean, but I think the things that people might want to remember, because really shaking things up sounds like a Uranus cycle rather than a Saturn cycle.
Yeah, I think it's just ways to make adjustments, I think. You know, where to be more flexible, perhaps, where to bend, where to learn, where to grow would have helped.
Well, but I also think sometimes things are meant to change.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, on one hand, you know, Saturn is concerned with preserving. But in certain cycles, maybe we're not supposed to preserve. We're supposed to do something new or what's out of the ordinary, or sometimes we need to go through some kind of a disappointment to get to whatever the next step is that's going to lead us on our, what you might call our true path. And so I don't want to make it seem like keeping the status quo is always the best thing to do.
Right.
However,
you have to go through those things, yeah? But I guess if you knew about it, you might soften the blow, perhaps, right?
Well, if you knew about it, you may be able to embrace it.
Embrace it, yeah, and soften the blow. You're listening to Turning of the Wheel. We got a couple minutes left here. I just want to let people know about your website, Joyce, and your book, if you could. Just let us know a little bit about that.
Okay, well, the website is joycelevine.com. And, again, you can come to the website and calculate your chart for free, or you can email me at joycel@joycelevine.com, or just go to the website and email me from there. And the book is called Breakthrough Astrology, Transform Yourself and Your World. And you can get it from me. It is on Amazon. And for those of you who are interested in studying astrology as well as learning about yourself, my first book is called A Beginner's Guide to Astrological Interpretation.
And it's really valuable. I think that one of the best ways to start this process, if you're at all curious, is to get yourself a chart. Once you know the position of your planets, and that's based on your birthplace, birth time, and birth date, knowing those three things will give you the most degree of accuracy. Now, many people complain about not being able to find the birth time. Usually it's on your birth certificate, and a lot of town halls and stuff like that have that information. Finding the birth time is a very important piece because it allows us to determine where your ascendant is, which is your rising sign, which is a very key indicator in your chart. So you find out those three things, go to Joyce's site, enter that in, and you'll be able to get your chart. Once you have a full idea where your planets are, then when you call up, you have a good idea what you can get in the way of what your questions will be much more granular, and you'll be more accurate. Again, Joyce Levine is here. Her book is Breakthrough Astrology. It's sort of a beginner's guide to astrology. It helps you get through that, the whole idea of the language and everything else. I want you to know we've had a wonderful time here. We've got a little bit of time here left, Joyce. I've just got to wrap things up here. So Joyce Levine has been my guest. Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming. And next week I've got Marguerite Manning, who's going to be talking about karmic astrology, which is a wonderful topic as well. So, Joyce, thank you very much. Again, Turning of the Wheel, my name's Chris Fleischer. You've been listening to Joyce Levine at joycelevine.com, one of the world's most foremost astrologers, and I've been very happy to have you as a guest today, Joyce, and look forward to speaking with you soon.
Great. Thank you, Chris. It's been great
to
be here.
Yeah, great. So, listen, turn in next week. We've got Marguerite Manning coming on to talk about karmic astrology, and she's written a book called Therapy for the Soul and the 12th House, Your Karmic Closet, which is about sort of your past life and where you're going. So it's been a wonderful time to a wonderful guest to try to figure out where you've been and where you're going, all of which can be determined from the astrology chart. It's largely based on the North Node and South Node, but there's plenty of other areas in the chart that bring that up as well. So it's important to be able to do that and see what we've got in the way of where you're coming from. You know, oftentimes people do past life regressions and they find out where they've been, but what they really want to know is where they're going, and that's the sort of the idea behind karmic astrology. Much of that information can be derived from the astrology chart, and it's not until you have a chart done by a professional astrologer and you hear where that information comes from that you begin to have that sort of that what I call an aha moment, where it all begins to click and you say, yes, that is familiar to me. And it certainly is relevant. And so the more you can understand that, the better off you are. And thank you very much for joining me today. It's Chris Fleischer, Turning of the Wheel on Contact Talk Radio. We'll see you next week, same time, same place.
You've been listening to Turning of the Wheel with your host, Chris Fleischer. To schedule a reading with me or to order artwork, you may visit my website at www.chrisfleischer.com. That's www.chrisfleischer.com. Or email me, and you can call me at 508-517-0969. Thank you.